So this place, I actually don't know so much about the activities that go on here in detail, but it's a very special palace. In the early 1990s, some of the devotees were introduced to this place as a possibility to purchase it. It belonged to a king. In India, the kings are generally disenfranchised. They have barely any assets, but they have a certain type of, as you can imagine, a certain type of ego goes along with being a king. So there was a possibility to purchase this place for ISKCON devotees, but the king was extremely hard to deal with. He was making all kinds of impediments occur in the actual purchasing of the place. But somehow, through so many different challenges, the devotees, especially Tamal Krishna Goswami, managed to get this place. And they tried to keep it as much as they could like it already was, but they also added many improvements. So it's an ashram where during Kartik there are many senior Prabhupada disciples. They'd like to come here. It has a scholarly, reclusive mood, strictly men only, but ladies are allowed to have lunch, one meal a day. And from one of the upper rooms inside the courtyard, they created a beautifully refined temple room. And I may be corrected here, but I believe there's a Govardhan Krishna Balaram Shilas that are worshipped there. There were two men who had been taking care of all the gardens and everything for many, many years, and they continued on in that seva, but that was over 30 years ago, so I don't know if they're still here. I don't know if they were old then or they're old now. And there's a goshala here, a simple goshala. And the cows are really, really gently, nicely taken care of in a simple, natural way. Yet with all this serenity, at certain times of the year, like Kartik or Purnima, just outside this wall, everything becomes absolutely chaotic. What we saw in the temple was very mild, very mild. So if you're thinking, this is a little chaotic, it was a little chaotic. It can get an awful lot more chaotic on special occasions. So living by the side of Giriraj, like this, even in a courtyard, in a palace, it still has this challenge that Giriraj himself invites so many people to become attracted, to come and see him, and you have to share your space, at least your sound space, with all of them. So this is just a little bit about the palace. And if we meet with somebody, a resident, I've forgotten the sannyasi in charge's name. Asit Krishna Maharaj. Asit Krishna is Oriyan. He's a very, very, very serious, super gentle, strict brahmachari sannyasi. He's been in charge here for an extremely long time, until it was suggested that he should be given sannyas, so that being such a serious Vaishnava, he could travel out from here and go to different places and preach. And I know that one of the places where he goes regularly is Hong Kong and China. So a far cry from this beautiful, serene, aesthetically well-designed ashram by the side of Govardhan. So when I was thinking what to share with you, we can speak about Govardhan However, you're going to have a special Govardhan day where you're going to all brave the parikram path. And I hope that those who are most brave even can do with bare feet, because that just makes it a little bit harder. Not that we want it to be hard, but the achievement when we do something that we think we can't do, that's too hard, and also I don't want to do it because it sounds too hard and it's maybe not interesting enough to me. When you step over that kind of thinking and you say, I'm just going to do it, magical things happen. I remember reading a quote that was kind of like a well-known quote about how when you become determined to achieve some particular goal, then destiny comes and works in your favor. So that's a mundane concept, that the universe is favorable to me. The universe is helping. Is this annoying, listening to an echo? You're getting used to it? Okay, all right. So the average person in the worldly life, they feel that the universe gave me a parking space. I was driving down the street, I couldn't find a parking space, I made a prayer, and there's a parking space. The universe has been kind to me. Because they have there's a vacant hall where we see that Krishna is there and he's directing the influences of the material world. So it's not that Krishna's being kind to me, because Krishna is busy with his devotees in his leelas, but he can direct the material energy in such a way that we achieve good fortune, even when we least expect it, in our ordinary daily lives. And it's very important to understand correctly when we say, oh, Krishna was so kind to me, or we say, oh, Krishna doesn't want me to be happy, or Krishna doesn't like me, or Krishna didn't help me pass my exams, and so on. That it's not like Krishna is sitting right there listening to your phone calls, what did you want, and he was too busy to answer you. That concept that we hold is not really a very developed one. So when we come to Vrindavan, we're actually coming into, you could say, we're coming into Krishna's home. When I first came to Vrindavan, it was in 1974, and we had come to India at Srila Prabhupada's request, first to Mayapur, and then we traveled by train to Vrindavan. And Vrindavan was very different then. It was a very rustic, poor place, and the people were astonished to see people with a different colored skin. And they would just all get around you in a circle and look at you like you just arrived from the moon. And it was very serene, it was very peaceful, but we only had a few days. At the end of that time, Srila Prabhupada was present. My husband and I went to see him to offer respects before we left to return to Hong Kong, where we were living at that time. And when we came into Srila Prabhupada's presence, he said immediately, he looked at us with a great deal of excitement and he said, how do you like Vrindavan? And I replied with the same amount of inhibition, lack of inhibition, and I said, Prabhupada, it's wonderful. And he retorted immediately, then you should come and live here. And then I laughed and I said, but you just sent us back to Hong Kong. And he smiled and he said, then you should come here for some months every year. At that time, it wasn't possible to come for some months every year. But that was in 1974. The next time we came was rather sad, because we came because Srila Prabhupada had just left this world. And we wanted to be there when they were creating the Samadhi Mandir. Can you hear me if I don't use this? Can you all hear? Yes? Okay. So we came because Srila Prabhupada had just left and we wanted to be there for the ceremonies, because it just seems so important to actually have an experience of his, where he had gone. Otherwise he's just like he's left, but I don't know where he is. So we came to Vrindavan in 1977. And it was actually at that time that we were feeling that Vrindavan is a deeply important place to us in our lives. And it would be really wonderful to actually come and stay for some time. But it was another 5-6 years before we actually came, longer than a couple of days. And we came with the idea, my husband had this idea, we'll stay for 1 year, because then we'll get a real experience, a real taste of Vrindavan, and we'll work in the Gurukula. And we brought with us our young son, who was 3 years old. And so we all came, and we lived at the Goshala first, and we lived in the guest house second, and finally we ended up living in the Gurukula building, each place a little bit less comfortable than the one before. But each one giving a little more opportunity of service. And I started taking people out on parikram, because as soon as we got here that time, I just wanted to go out and explore. I wanted to go down the market and see where all the little streets led to. And so I had no service, because we just arrived and we weren't part of the community yet. So I used to take any opportunity I could to go down to the market, and I looked at all the people, I bought things, I just studied it all. And I met one man who was very nice, and that was Srijis. Srijis. His name is Narayan, and he didn't mind if I sat in his little teeny shop. He had a little teeny shop that time, like a stall. I would just sit there and I'd watch things. And somehow he didn't mind if I sat there for 1 hour, 2 hours. He'd go on with his business and I would just look at this person and that person. And occasionally he'd say, "You see that lady?" As they walk past his shop, he'd say, "She's very rich. She supports Banki Bihari Temple. Look at this, look at that." And he just told me all kinds of little social things. And then I would ask him about the trees. And he told me there's a special tree down by the Jamuna. You should go down there. It's in a temple. And if you find the temple, it's a white building. And there's a tree inside. And this tree is very old. So I would follow up. I'd go down to the Jamuna, which looked totally different than it does now. It was just very, very simple. And I'd climb through the rubble and try and find this tree in the house. And I'd found it. And I'd go back and say, "I found the tree." And then he'd tell me, "Oh, and there's also a this, this, and this." And I'd go looking for that. And one day he said to me, "You know," because he saw my interest, he said, "You know that there's a parikrama. You can go on, where you go all around the whole area of Braj, all the places, Nandagram, Bashana. Now, just keep in mind, at that time there were no English books, there were no photographs, and there were no English tour guides, none. There were only the local people. And no Westerner had ever, ever, ever done this before. Because this town of Braj, in literary form, it's eternal. But in physical, geographical terms, it's only 500 years old. Because this place came into its magnificence at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Before then, all these areas were mostly forest. So now we see Vrindavan is becoming quickly covered by cement. Well, previously it was covered by forest. And so nobody knew where did Krishna do this, where did Krishna do that, what happened here. Nobody knew. And then the Goswamis came, especially Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, but all the Vaishnavas at that time, they came to find, to rediscover the places that were connected with Krishna's pastimes. And one of the means they did for doing that was that they would travel, they had no set home, and they would sleep under the trees. And it is said that the trees would resonate in their hearts what was the leela of that place. And so slowly, 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 with the help of other Vaishnavas, they created a map of where all the places were of Krishna's leela. So this is called Braj Mandala Parikram, the circumnavigation of Braj. So when my curiosity was so high, there was nobody to answer my questions. Only this simple shopkeeper who was busy making money. He wasn't interested in anything else particularly, but he had a bit of general knowledge to share. And a little bit of English, not much more. So he told me this, there's a Parikram, you go all around the whole area. And I thought to myself, that's really exciting. I said, how long does it take? And he looked at me matter-of-factly because, of course, there were many yatras that were going through. Even Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati took his Gaudiya Math mission through this Brajmandal Parikrama in the 1930s. So it had been going for a significant amount of time. So I said, how long will it take? And he smiled and he said, a month. And I almost froze. I thought, a month? You know, it's hard for me to get down here to sit in his shop for a couple of hours and ask him all my questions. And it's hard for me to get 3 hours to walk around Vrindavan. So I was anticipating a week. You know, maybe that was a long time. But a month was actually, to me, it was impossible to think that you could be on Parikram for a month. We didn't know at that time about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and his Parikramas. We had none of that information available. But very soon after that, I would say within months, Lokanath Maharaj came to Vrindavan and he was giving class in the temple. And as part of his class, he mentioned that the Padyatra, a group of devotees who were walking with large Gaunatai deities and had walked all around, they were walking all around to Mayapur. They had gone from Dwarka over here down to the bottom and up all the way to Mayapur, walking village by village by village. And they had had an amazing experience of the friendliness and the warmth of the villagers as they came through, and they had a little program that they did at night, and the villagers would house them, feed them, and it was a wonderful experience for those who did it. So Lokanath Maharaj said, now what we want to do, we're in Mayapur, we want to go to Badrinath. So we're going to come through Vrindavan. This was at the start of the year, not in Kartik time. We're going to come through Vrindavan, go up to Badrinath, and then come back to Dwarka. We want to do all four sides of India. And while we're in Vrindavan, we're going to do this 1 month Vraj Mandal Parikram. And my eyes just got big and I thought, really? You're going to do that? I know what that is. And so I said to my friend sitting next to me, I said, I'm going. And she said, I'm going too. And so we thought, they had a program at night, so maybe what we could do was we could make a bullock cart, on a bullock cart, we could make a puppet stage. And we could join the Parikram, and we could do puppet shows in all the different places we went, all around as we went around Vrindavan. So we presented the idea to Lokanath Maharaj, and he said it was a very good idea. He'd be very happy if we would like to do that. And he promised he could get together the bullocks, the cart, and a generator. Those three things we wanted. And we made the stage, and we decorated it nicely. And you could take the cloth off. It had Velcro on the back. So it traveled along, and when we came to some place, we'd put all the cloth on and the curtains and the lights, and we would do a puppet show. So it sounds great, right? It sounds really simple and nice. But nothing in Vrindavan is simple and nice. Everything is unpredictable. It's just the nature, because we don't want to go away from this place feeling like we understand it. We don't want to go away from this place thinking I figured this place out, like you would if you go to some place in America and you say, oh, I went there and yeah, I figured that place out. It's pretty boring, actually. You know, I figured out that they think it's really important, but they don't give you good facilities. I'm not going there again. We don't want to leave Vrindavan with that mindset. We want to leave Vrindavan with a sense of gratitude that somehow or other I was allowed to come into your abode. Well, I didn't have that, I have to admit, at that time. I was thinking I was doing a favor to the to the local people. But the local people, of course, didn't think I was doing a favor to them. They thought I was fascinating and funny. And so every place we went, every time we set up the stage, the young teenagers and the rowdy kids would come all around, they'd rock the card, they'd laugh, they'd poke things, they wouldn't sit down, they wouldn't listen, they would just make a whole din. And this became so disturbing to me, because I was feeling like, I'm doing you a favor, I'm doing this for you, and you're not accepting it. And then finally we got to, actually, the worst place of all was in Varshana. And we did the puppet stage at the place called Pilipukur, which we may visit. And we put the puppet stage up on a little bit of a mound. And now there was a recording and loudspeakers and a generator, and the recording was in Hindi. But these people in the village, they speak Brajavas, so Hindi's a little stiff for them. So we would play the recording with the microphones, and then we would put our hands up, it was a sit-down stage, and work the puppets. And it was successful everywhere else that we'd done it. But when we got to Varshana, they just thought it was so funny. And they were shouting and swearing and calling out names, and I don't know what they were saying or doing, but they were making so much noise that I couldn't even hear the puppet show. So all of a sudden the noise is pouring in, I can't hear the puppet show. And in a moment of absolute utter frustration, I did the most ridiculous thing. I stood up, so there's me in the puppet stage. I stood up and I started shouting at them all. And I was saying, stop it, we can't perform unless you keep quiet. And I'm talking in English. And the kids are all sitting there. And it was like a clown at the circus to them. They loved it. They started throwing things and laughing. And I was so upset. I was just mortified. So we put down the curtain very quickly, and we stayed inside the puppet stage until they all left. And then we went home. And then there was another two experiences that were similar to that in Kamyavan and then in Nandagram. And in Nandagram, I started thinking, I'm starting to really dislike these people. I really don't like them. They're rude, they're crude, they're rough. The kids are all have dirty hair and dust in their hair. I don't know, this place, I don't like it. And then I started to worry, because I hadn't intended to go away with a feeling of dislike towards these people. And I talked to one of the devotees who had been on that padyatra. And he himself said also, yes, the people here are really bad. We haven't had these problems anywhere else. They're so rowdy. They're so misbehaved. And then the two of us have the same experience, decided to speak to some of the devotees who were in charge. And we had an istogosti. And I discovered that everybody in this, the first Rajmandala Prakram, there are perhaps 31 or 40 people. Now there's thousands go. So all of the people, especially the Westerners, all voiced the same dissatisfaction with the people. And Jayadwaita Maharaj was very wise, and he spoke. And he said, first of all, he wanted to tell us that these people are special. It doesn't mean that they're good, but they've been born for some reason into Krishna's household. And that means that he uses them to teach you something. He said, for example, he said, if you're careless and you don't take care of your things, they'll steal them from you. And if you have too many chadars and clothes and so many things, they'll make sure that they take a few of your chadars and a few of your clothes. And in this way, they'll be instructing and teaching you. And your business is to transform your way of thinking to align with that understanding of these people. And he said many more things that I don't remember. But somehow or other, he made a rapid shift in my understanding. And then I started to understand that I had come there thinking that I knew more than they did. I'd come to give them something. And Krishna was using them to ridicule me every time I tried to do it. I was thinking, I'm giving them something wonderful. I worked so hard and I'm giving them this. And they would laugh as if it was ridiculous. And once I got it, that actually they're elevated, I'm not elevated, I've got nothing to give them, they've got everything themselves. Krishna is working with them in a miraculous way that I don't understand. Then my attitude took a shift. And the last time we did the puppet show, we got to a place called Shergat, which is on the other side of the highway. And there I sat down and thought, how to serve them. Rather than to teach them or give them something, they're greater than me, how can I serve them? So I calculated the problems we'd been having and I tried to adjust. I connected our puppet stage to the loud microphone that was blasting out towards the whole town. And I put our puppet stage right next to the main stage so it wasn't very noticeable. And me and my friend, we went inside early. So they didn't see two Western young women who they were kind of interested in teasing. And we sat inside and we had a little hole in the front of the stage so we could see. And we started the puppet stage, the puppet show, and you could hear it echoing out across the town. It was kind of shivering. It was so amazing. We told them the story of Sanatan Goswami and the touchstone. And we told them the story of Madhavendra Puri when he finds the Gopal deity. And there was no noise. You could have heard anything. And I said to my friend, I said, there's no one there. And we looked through the hole and we saw there was a whole space, like a whole field, as far as you could see, of people. And they're all going. And they were all silent. And it took from my heart part of this misunderstanding that had been building up due to the chaos and the confusion we'd experienced. And then we came back to Vrindavan, and we were supposed to go out again. We were supposed to go to the other side of Vrindavan to complete the parikram. You have to cross the Jamuna and do the other side. And on the way, does everyone know where Niduvan is? Some people may not. But there's a tall wall, a thick, tall wall. And it's at a sort of an angle. It goes around. It's not straight. It's kind of like that. And there was a bullock cart. I didn't have my bullock cart puppet stage yet with me. I was walking beside the bullock cart, and the bullock cart was going, if you could understand, like this, closer and closer and closer to the wall. And I was between the bullock cart and the wall, just walking, not paying any attention. And all of a sudden I realized that if I stayed where I was going to be jammed. I was going to be pulled into jammed, crushed between the wall and the bullock cart. So all I remember was that I screamed. And the next thing I remember was I opened my eyes and there were always people looking at me. And I was like, what's going on? And then I realized I was on the ground. And they had they'd brought me to the side of the road, and the whole parikram had stopped, and everybody was looking to see if I was okay. And the next thing, I was with a couple of chadars, they got me into the back of a van, and I was in the hospital in Mathura, in their intensive care section. Now, intensive care in the Matura Hospital doesn't mean much. It just means that nobody feeds you. Because nobody comes in, nobody looks at you. They probably took my pulse, perhaps, but not much more. And they wanted to keep me in intensive care for a couple of days or a long, long time. But everybody else in the hospital, their family would bring in a tiffin and feed them. There was no food available in the hospital. But that afternoon, somebody told my husband, and he came with a vehicle, and they took me back to the guest, the Gurukul. And when my friend Narayan in the Sriji shop heard about this, he said, "Why didn't you tell me you're in hospital? Why didn't you tell me? We would have fed you. We would have taken care of you. Why didn't you tell me?" And that exchange was really important for me, because this confirmed what I was understanding about these people. That if you're gentle with them, respectful to them, you don't have to give them a lot of money. You have to show them a certain kind of respect. And if you show them that kind of respect, then they'll show that respect back to you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Okay. We're all ready now, I think, to go inside. So this was my Vrajmandal Parikrama adventure. And I thought to share it with you because that principle of the Brajabasis, it can be an inner respect. You don't have to necessarily do anything, but mentally show respect to the people of Vrindavan. And they in turn will bless you. And that blessing is what makes us actually proceed on the path. So let us now follow our guides into the temple, into the rest of the...